Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Kings of Queen City podcast. And I'm just wondering, are you going to apologize to Kyle Farmer?
No, I won't. I'm glad he's playing well, and he has proved me wrong. And it would look very bad for me to sit there with a sign protesting. But that being said, the Castellinis are still cheap, and it is their fault. So...
yeah, I mean, I would say it's definitely not. He's played out of his mind, though. I mean, the last time, I'm trying to remember the last time we were on, it was the 18th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the last time, yeah. So it's been a hot minute.
I mean, he has exploded since the All-Star break, and he makes all the plays you could ask for. It's short, and that was never going to be the issue. It was going to be that he couldn't hit. So now that he's hitting, is cool. He's a career, off the top of my head, he's like a career 220 hitter with an OPS of under 700. So, I mean, he's not going to keep being Barry Bonds, but it's a cool stretch, and he's going to bridge the gap to Jose Barrio in a couple weeks. Hey, so,
and we're okay with that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all for it.
But yeah, so we haven't gotten any of your reaction on the trade deadline. How do you think it went down? Did you want more?
It's hard to say because on the offensive side of the ball, the team's loaded. And I think it would have been nice to get the splash reliever. Like the one guy that you could 100% rely on. And Michael Givens and Luis Sessa are good pieces. They're a good start to the bullpen. But it's not a real difference maker in the long run if you're trying to compete in the playoffs, I think. Givens might be, but he's not the lockdown ninth inning or the guy that you can rely on in the playoffs to give you two dominant innings. So, in a way, it was good because literally anybody would have been better than Josh Osich and Edgar Garcia and those guys. I mean, that was brutal. So, in a way, yeah, it's good. In a way, it was kind of disappointing. But I can't. It is what it is. And their whole plan was that they were going to wait till they got Lucas Sims and TJ Antone back. And, okay, I mean, yeah, your bullpen looks a lot better at that point. And it's exciting. I think TJ Antone has two or three more rehab things. That's what David Bell said today. So it'll be fun. But at the end of the day, I think it's a little too late. The damage has already been done. You've already lost all those. You lost all those games in April, May, June, and July because of an awful bullpen. And then the last 2 months, you're going to expect to, you know, hey, we did something. You should have done it in May. So,
well, I'm not gonna disagree with you on that. But the one thing I did want to talk about is kind of the treatment of the newly found bullpen. What do you make of the whole Givens in the eighth, Hembray in the ninth situation we've kind of seen in the past few weeks?
I think at the beginning it made sense. Hembray is the one that's striking guys out at an elite record or at an elite pace. Excuse me. And, you know, I think David Belf kind of, you saw it early in the year with like Amir Garrett, you know, like he was just trying to throw him back out there and like, oh, it's going to work this time. And after the fifth time it doesn't work, then he gives up on it. You know, sometimes guys just don't have it over the stretches and you just can't expect a different result that time and think that like I don't know. It's frustrating that he is going to keep on trying Heath Hembray in these big spots when in the last seven games, he's at least given up a run every single time.
Yeah. I think it was the more notable one was the walk-off against the Cubs. Was that him?
It the Cubs?
I want to say it was – no, that was Amir. That was Amir, never mind. Because that was the Javi Baez thing, yeah.
Yeah. Heath Hembray did have a game where he gave up, like, three runs and just blew the game, I think. But I can't remember what game that is.
Was it the Mets game?
Yeah, it was the Mets.
Because that one should have been a sweep.
Yeah, should have been a sweep. It just, my biggest thing, and I don't get it. Lucas Sims is, I'm going to say, other than Givens, is probably the best reliever in there right now. And to not use him tonight in a big situation, like, you can't tell me Heath Hembree is better than Lucas Sims.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's the same thing where, like, back in the day we used to say, like, Marvin had something on Paul. Like, I think Hembree might have something on Bell.
Like,
he has to.
Something. Yeah. He's like, just keep throwing me in these games, coach.
I mean, I don't know, man. It's just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, and we talked about this in the group chat today. I think we're getting close to Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo. We're going to see him in September.
If it's a home game for, like, maybe the first game that Hunter Green, we have to go to that.
He's not going to be a starter, though. He's going to be a reliever.
Whatever game he gets called up, though. Whatever game he gets called up, we got to go, because that's what we did with Senzel.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be so fun. They're not going to do it till September.
Oh, yeah,
but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And how fun is that going to be? You're going to have Berrio, Green, and Lodolo, who are three of the top five prospects on the team. So that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. I think they have a really good chance at the playoffs.
I mean,
in the wild card.
Let's look big picture now. So if you look at it right now, as of, I'm trying to think what day it is technically right now, it's August 11th. The Reds are 61-53. The Brewers are 68-46. We are 7 games back from the Central. And in the West, you have the kind of the three-headed dragon of the Padres at 65-49, Dodgers 68-45, and then the Giants at 71-41.
In I think the West is going to be a bloodbath for the last month and a half. Someone's going to get beat up. Someone's going to have injuries. And the team, honestly, the team that I think is not built for kind of that kind of stretch is the Giants. I mean, they don't have an elite position player. You look at the Dodgers, the whole team is just
all-stars.
Yeah. And then you look at the pitching rotation. Great. And then you look at the Padres, too. They're the same way. If anything, they've underperformed. And so I think the Giants are going to get beat up. But also, people have been waiting on that all year for the Giants to be beat up, and it just hasn't happened. So, but I think one of those teams is going to get beat up. So,
yeah.
And it's not going to be the Dodgers. That's all I'm going to say.
It'd be so awful to somehow make the wild card. I mean, when you look at the realistic, there's a real possibility just because of the stretch of the last month of those three teams having to play each other so much, where there's a real possibility that one of those teams is going to get it, like, mathematically, it almost has to happen. Somebody's going to have to lose the majority of those games. Like, even if they all split, it just takes a Reds run to go on that you could see them sneak in. You know how bad that would be to make the wild card and then have to play the Dodgers?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, we make the wild card, super happy, and then you get either Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, or Walker Buehler in a – and you know what? This may be controversial. I don't really care either. But knowing us Cincinnati fans, Bauer's going to be, like, innocent, and he's just going to shove it.
I'd be so mad. And then, it'll be a gem of a game through, like, eight, and then they throw in Givens in the eighth, and then they throw Hembree in the ninth, and they hit a walk-off.
Actually, they just – David Bell wants to give Josh Osich one more time, even though I think he's, like, released or something. He's just like, yeah, one more time.
I'm not going to lie. I think baseball is one of my favorite sports because of the pure, like, savageness of it. Where, like, they'll put a guy, like, they'll put a reliever in, and if he's a bad game, he's gone tomorrow. Like, yeah. they will send you down the next day, and not even the next day sometimes. They'll do it, like, hours after, and that's insane to me.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like, my favorite is a lot of the time the roster moves happen at like, I don't know, one or two. It's always funny to wake up to that one after like a horrible game. It's like 9 a.m. They're like, oh, they cut his ass right after. Like, he didn't even make it out of the locker room before they're like, you're gone.
I equate it to like a preseason game when you see somebody like fumble or false start. You're like, well, you're gone.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, you're not. You're getting cut this week.
But it's just, it's wild. But I'm trying to think. So also another, because we're talking about the Giants, how did you feel about the almost Chris Bryant move?
I think it would have been really cool. I don't know how it would have worked out.
Yeah.
In center field, I it would have been fun.
Yeah, it would have been I'm just not a big, like, it definitely has to have been, like, Javi Baez, like, just what, because I haven't really paid attention forever, so like I haven't really had like the Cubs animosity, I would say, but like something about Javi Baez whenever we play him, I just always hated. So I don't like the Cubs.
No, I don't like the Cubs either. Chris Bryant, I didn't like him because he hit a bunch of home runs against the Reds.
Yeah.
But my biggest thing and what rubbed me the wrong way on that is he makes, I think it was like $7 million the rest of the year. And the Reds wanted them to swap contracts, like a big contract. It makes me think, I think it was one of two people. I think it was Shogo was the contract they were trying to get out of. Because if you think about it, they make roughly the same money.
Which is wild.
And the Reds would have had to send a pretty good prospect, honestly.
And I'm not down for that.
Just so that they would have taken Shogo's contract. And so, yeah, it would have been fun. It's just Bob being cheap. So
I'm not going to lie, I haven't been able to pay a bunch of attention just with work swapping up. So with the lineup, what have they been doing with, like, since Moose just got back? I saw that he hit a double, I want to say, like, last week when he was in. Was he at third?
I honestly don't know. I don't think he didn't play yesterday. He wasn't in the lineup today. They're playing Suarez again. I think it was a left hand. It was a lefty today. So, makes a lot of sense. Suarez hasn't hit anybody, so let's just keep playing him over Moustakas, who has hit well. Makes a lot of sense.
It was the 10-0 game against the Pirates.
It's only August. Suarez had a big game, 2 walks, a strikeout, no hits, still batting .173. It is August 11th.
It has to be like almost historical how bad he's swinging, but how many home runs he's hit, right?
Yeah, he's hit 22 home runs. I'm just starting to worry that we've seen the best of Eugenio Suarez, that it may be over for him, because over almost 600 at bats, he has a batting average under 200 and an OPS over, like, or under 700.
And that's heavily been the last two seasons, right, where he struggled?
Yeah. So over almost a whole season, he's been bad.
Really, yeah, bad.
So it's unfortunate. I think that Moustakas needs to play a majority of the games. I think Suarez should get a game a week.
That's kind of what my thought process would have been anyways when you've got Moose coming back, because, I mean, he's Rookie of the Year, so, I mean, you got to play him.
Now, if India doesn't win the Rookie of the Year, we riot.
I mean, I think you have to, because, well, my biggest thing in the world is I don't think, because it's kind of the whole service time thing, right, where, like, guys like, who's the guy from the Rays who played a ton last year but somehow could still be Rookie of the Year this year? It's like Randy...
Rosarena.
There we go. Yeah, he played a lot last year, but he can still win. I mean, he's obviously in the AL, but still, I hate that that's like a thing.
It's like 150 at bats or something like that, and like 50 innings pitched.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, or like a certain amount of day. It's also a certain amount of days you have to spend on the roster.
Hmm. But, I mean, yeah, he should be a virtual lock at this point. Like, he's got to be, right?
I don't know. The Rodgers guy from Miami is also really good. But my thing too, and I've always said that, like, the MVP, but the writers always think this way. Has Jonathan India had a bigger impact on the Reds' success than Taylor Rogers on a team that's had 45 wins or something like that?
I mean,
now, it's not the right way to think, but it's how they think.
I mean, I would have to say you think he has to, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got an on-base percentage over 400.
I mean, and the thing, too, is obviously I'm very new to baseball, but I'm just not sure if it, like, it kind of rubs me the wrong way to give, like, an MVP to, or, like, a kind of rookie of the year award to a pitcher who doesn't play every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And a pitcher that pitched last year.
My point exactly. Like, he's a guy who's not really a rookie, and this is India's rookie season.
Yeah, it's stupid. I don't know. He should win rookie of the year for sure. We haven't even talked about Joey Votto.
Oh, I mean, that's how I didn't start off the podcast last time, but I should have. I said Joey Votto still bangs.
Yeah, I mean, he does. Maybe. He's 37 and just still hitting yaks.
Verbal meme, well, kind of too, but it was the verbal meme of him talking to that girl when he was like leaning on the right by the circle. That was incredible. And then the point to the back of the jersey thing was electric.
Yeah, hold on. I wonder if I can show you this.
Jake is now surging through his new apartment right now, so
I don't know where this is.
This is great radio, Jake, by the way.
This is great. Yeah, I'll come back to this.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yep. So.
But yeah, I mean, most importantly of all, Joey Votto still bangs, and he'll continue banging. Oh, oh, that is sick. It is actually what I was talking about, the verbal meme when I said Joey Votto pointing to the back of his jersey. It is a shirt that Jake got of that. That is electric.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry you guys had to listen to that. That was great podcasting.
You know, I might make this a clip and put it on my TikTok, if I'm being honest. That was great.
Me just searching around my boxes as I don't have a dresser. I have not plugged in my TV. Yeah.
But I also don't think I've ever been upset at I'm not even sure. Was it a double when he almost hit that out against the Mets?
Yeah. Yeah, that should have been a home run.
It was like 14 other ballparks. It was.
Yeah, it's Citi Field sucks.
In Great American, that's a 500 footer.
Yeah, it's gone. So
that just makes me sad. But
thanks, Citi Field.
Just some Mets slander right now. At least we don't have their owner, right?
I feel okay. I say, you know how in Cincinnati the owners never talk. They never say anything. You get one press conference. We haven't had a Bob Castellini press conference in 2 years.
Really?
We haven't heard from him in 2 years. We get a Paul Brown or a Mike Brown one once a year. And it's like Cohen tweets. And like, as Cincinnati fans, we're like, we want to hear from the owner. It's like Cohen tweets. And then everybody's like, dude, shut the fuck up. No one wants to hear from you.
Dude, it's just – it's a no, you can't win in that situation. Like if you're the owner, like I understand the low like level, but like I like the awareness to have a Twitter, but you also have to have the awareness to be like, I'm gonna get murdered every time I get on here.
Oh yeah. And he has to know. He just has to own it. I love the tweet where he's like, just talk to the players, they're in a great state of mind, and then they got killed.
That's just tough.
That's one of those tweets that you just keep to yourself.
That's like I love Twitter. Twitter's definitely my favorite, but like there's the kids nowadays, like on NBA Twitter and everything. That's like the ratio you fell off. Like every owner ever is going to just get a ton of those spammed under his thing.
Yeah. Just ratio.
Ratio, you fell off. Like,
yeah,
that stuff's so stupid. But you just
have to own it if you're that guy.
I'm like, right. Like,
if you're that owner, you just got to own it.
Yeah, you got to become a troll at that point.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. That it's been 2 years since Castellini's talked to, like, the media.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane.
I think the last time we heard from him was the 2020 offseason. Or when they signed Castellanos. Good Lord.
Like, well, my thing is, like, how – as a league, I would mandate that like the owners talk, if I'm being honest. Like I'd make it like a players thing where like the players have to talk to the media. I would say the owners should have the same availability, or not the same, obviously, but somewhat of it.
Well, what's everybody knew? Castellini didn't need to speak last year. Everybody knew what he was doing.
Well, I mean, yeah, but still,
yeah. Like, so
hold him accountable. But anyways, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else I want to talk about, like Reds? Or I mean, this is just it's insane that it's going to come down to the wire, kind of like we predicted it at the beginning. This is really going to become not only watching for the Reds games, as I talked about last podcast. We've got a fairly easy schedule coming up. They got to capitalize. They have not been doing so as of right now, but we're going to be scoreboard watching.
And I've been saying this since April, maybe before the season, March. We're going to have meaningful baseball and we're going to have football games that people care about in September.
Yeah.
We have not had this in 8 years. 2013 will have been the last time that we've had this. So I hope everybody soaks that in and kind of realizes what we have ahead of us.
It's going to be great. So let's move over, like you said, to the Bengals. And so we'll kind of start back and then kind of get to the current ones. So there was a tweet by Paul Daniel Jr. Not even a tweet. It was an article where he talked about kind of Joe, how he really didn't think that Joe was very confident in himself. He said that he saw a play in specific where it looked like Joe rose his leg up in order to protect his knee or something like that, to kind of like avoid a rush. And he just said that he didn't look confident, kind of caused a spew of wildfire. Everybody was talking about it. You had Cleveland writers, I'm pretty sure, just it was kind of a whirlwind on Twitter the other day. What do you kind of make of that?
Can you blame him? He's how many months out? Still like 7?
It's like 7 or 8. It's going to be 8 here soon.
It's 8 months. And I mean, yeah, he probably doesn't feel very confident in it right now, which is understandable. You'd probably want more time playing, right? And kind of getting your legs under you. And so for people just to like freak out about that, what did you think? He'd just come back and be like, yeah, I'm completely fine. Like, no. He just had a major knee injury, and it makes sense. And he's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. He's got a month to work it out. They're practicing every day. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've seen since I even talked about in the last podcast, I've seen a lot of there's a more drills where he's doing like his routine throws, and it's either whoever the quarterback coach is, or I've seen it's I'm blanking on his name. Isn't it Callahan, OC?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like stepping up around him just as he's making like throws. So he's like gets more comfortable with seeing him around them, and he's throwing dimes. He's looking good. I mean, especially this last week, I'm pretty sure the last few practices have been pretty good on a him side of things. Offensive line we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, I just think everybody got into it way too much. Like this was going to happen at some point. Like it's a major injury. This is something that we kind of talked about when it happened, that this was probably going to be something that wasn't going to be a super quick fix. It's Joe Burrow though. Like you can't count the guy out, like no matter what happens.
And the biggest thing, you know what? It's probably going to go into part of the season too. I don't think it would be wrong of us to just expect him to light up the first few weeks. And you know what? I wouldn't put it past him. But it would also, it's wrong of us to expect that. And I keep seeing these things too, that I read an article the other day that he's back to his LSU self, where he's out there hours before practice starts and he's only getting perfection. That's all he wants. And so I'm not betting against that guy. So
yeah, I'm not either. I think that's definitely the one thing when you take out of it, like when you have to look, because there's things when it comes to sports, there's things that you have to take that aren't visible, that aren't things that you're going to be able to see. And I think when you talk about a guy like Joe Burrow, that's basically one of his biggest assets is his mental wherewithal, what he can do, the confidence, everything like that. I think he's going to be okay. That was kind of, I did the Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X. We got to relax for a second.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. Also, when that article was written, it was still July, I think, or it was like the first week of August.
It was first week of training camp. It was literally the first week pads came on.
We have a lot of time in between that, so it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it is. And then another one by Paul Danner. We kind of talked about it before the podcast. Paul Danner has been on a bit of a negative slant the past week. But yeah. Another piece he did on Ja'Marr Chase, that he's at the very up and down camp, which he has, but says that he there's like concerns about him being able to separate. And I just think everybody is overreacting a smidge.
Again, it is crazy to expect a rookie to come in and you expect him to be like the next Calvin Johnson, or, you know, it takes a little bit of time. And so also another thing, he hasn't played in games in 2 years. To make these kinds of, you know, like takes after the first week of training camp is kind of crazy to me. I saw a video today of him running routes and he looks great.
So, I thought he looked good too, and all the stuff that I've seen, like obviously some of the clips like are obviously like team manufactured, like they're ones that the team wants you to see and stuff like that. But yeah, man, like the receivers have looked pretty good, and I mean the secondary, but there's also times you don't really want Ja'Marr Chase to just start torching your secondary as a rookie. Like this is a group you spent a ton of money on in the free agency. Like you've got Trey Waynes, who you haven't seen play, but you gave a huge contract. You've got a bunch of new guys in the DBs. And so you don't want that to happen. If you're being honest, like I think we'd have some issues if Ja'Marr Chase was out there tearing it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'd worry more. Be like, why is this rookie just coming in? I mean, you'd be excited, but you'd also be like,
yikes. Our
defense bad. But yeah, I think it's fine. But who I'm really excited for, and they've said big things about, is T.
There was a T. Oh, I think it was a Tyler. There was like a Tyler. It could have been Tyler or T. Somebody had like a Moss toe touch catch or something. One of the two. But everybody has been. This has been like the T. Higgins.
That was like, Boyd.
That was Tyler. Okay. Tyler's just insane anyways. But this has been the T. Higgins hype offseason.
Yeah, yeah. It's been the Mike Hilton hype offseason, too. I've seen a lot about Mike Hilton. So
yeah. I mean, that's what training camp's for. Training camp's for the hype.
I have one more guy.
Okay.
Evan McPherson.
I mean, you got it.
They said did you see the ball that he – it was like a 55-yarder. It had to have been good from 65.
He's been drilling it.
Yeah, and I get like there's no pass rush or anything, but it was a bomb.
Can't wait for us to cut him and Seibert's our kicker.
I'll kill myself.
There's no way they do it, because like what would they drafted? They Elliott was an undrafted free agent, wasn't he?
No, he was a fifth round pick. Just like
Elliott was a fifth round pick too.
Yeah.
Jeez, we are morons.
Yeah.
How do you let your fifth round pick walk?
I don't know.
Jeez.
I don't know.
But what were you? Sorry, I cut you off there. What were you saying?
I was just gonna say I'm not going to say that I'm gonna go protest like I did Kyle Farmer, but I will be mad.
If Evan McPherson?
Yeah, if he's not the kicker.
Oh, I would probably protest on that.
Yeah, yeah. So that would not be great.
But yeah, and then what do you want to do? It's kind of two negatives right now. Do you want to go O-line, or do you want to talk about Jesse Bates?
You know what? I'm going to go O-line.
So if you guys didn't know, the first depth chart just released and comes with some fairly shocking things. I know it's got Jonah. Wait, here it is right now. It's got Jonah at left, Quentin Spain at left guard, Trey Hopkins at center, and at right guard, it's got Michael Jordan. And then right tackle, you've got Riley Reiff. And then for the backups, it still has Akeem Adeniji as our left tackle, too. Deontay Smith is actually our left guard, too. Billy Price, center. Backup right guard is going to be Xavier Suofilo. Fred Johnson at right tackle. And then kind of the shock of the whole thing is Jackson Carman at right guard 3.
I get why people are shocked. You want your second round pick to be, you know, the guy. But again, he's raw. He has a ton of talent. He's young. It's the same thing with Michael Jordan. And everybody wanted to hate on him, but it was also, remember everybody at the end of the year, they were like, Michael Jordan could be good with the right coach, blah, blah, blah. And now we're like, oh, he's going to play. Like, maybe Frank Pollock has unlocked something in him.
And wow, that was way more positive from you than I ever thought we would get.
But here's the thing. Until you see him in a game, like this week, if he bulldozes Sue and Vea, okay, all right.
Might buy it a little bit.
If he gets killed, okay, now we've got support. Maybe Jackson Carman's not good.
I would say the biggest thing about the depth chart is I don't think I care so much about the order right now, because I do think they do some weird stuff with these depth charts. It's just kind of weird. You see, I'm trying to see, there was another thing that kind of surprised me. I think it was Trent Taylor at slot two, but not like a shocking thing, but just like an interesting one. But I just don't think it's going to matter as much until we see games. Yeah, that's when we're going to start to get a feel.
Another thing I've been thinking, who did they have at punt return?
It was Darius Phillips.
That's fun.
Very fun.
So, all right. Hey. I kind of like that.
And then it was Brandon Wilson at kick returner, and then Darius was two for kick returner.
Yeah, well, Brandon Wilson is a great kick returner. So, but other than that, like I'm being positive. I'm positive.
You are positive today. I'm happy about that.
Everybody was super negative, and I kind of looked at it as like maybe Michael Jordan's having a good camp.
I mean, I'd say the biggest thing for me is this depth chart. To me, only thing that makes me mad is that there isn't more depth, because that's that, like, regardless or not, if you're going to, like, let's say Jax Carman was playing really well and he was going to be your starter, like, you're still an injury away from Michael Jordan being the guy.
Yeah. Well, you'd imagine if Michael Jordan was bad, it'd be Xavier Suafilo, right?
I mean, yeah, but it's, you know what I'm saying. It's just still, yeah, like,
no, I agree. They
you're scarce.
Thin.
Yeah.
They're thin. And it's also, yeah, it's not great how thin they are. They can't afford like a Riley Reiff to get hurt.
They really can't afford anybody on the offensive line to get hurt, if we're being completely honest. Unless they're going to do something not Bengals like and go out and sign somebody that's still available and or make a trade for somebody, which is, I mean, at this point, I mean, if something like that does happen, I think you kind of have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not happening. So yeah, it's fun to think about, but
I mean, yeah, but I mean, if someone goes to at this point, though, I think for Zach Taylor, I mean, if someone goes down, it's full press. You got to go for something, you know, because you can't have another bad season for him.
If somebody goes down in camp, they're going to go get somebody.
Well, I'm praying to God it's not camp. I'm talking about more in season, but.
Oh, well, in season too. But in season, all the guys that are worth a damn are playing for teams. So
real quick, I've got two kind of spins off on this. I heard something on Locked On Bengals that I thought was kind of interesting. It's more of like a statement, but kind of want to see how you reacted. How do you think they should, or how would you kind of go into this upcoming week of practice? Because I think it is tough, because I think you want to get Joe as many first team reps as absolutely possible. Just get him comfortable with the offense, get the timing and everything down. But the thing is, with this game Saturday, Joe's not going to play.
It's definitely interesting. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, as long as you have that first team offensive line working together, like, then that's kind of what you're looking for. I'm sure all the receivers are going to play too.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice to have Joe, but they're all practicing together. Like, that's a lot of the big thing. And so, and they're probably only going to get what, a series or two together.
I honestly don't know. I don't know how they're really going to handle that. It's just interesting to me, because going into the practices, like, you obviously want to get Brandon Allen some first team reps, because he's going to be playing pretty much the entire game.
Yeah. I don't think it's that big of a deal, honestly.
I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Do we think Burrow plays a preseason
that
game?
Was going to be my next thing. I said, what would you do?
If he does, he's got to play the second game, right? He's trying
at Washington.
Oh shit! Yeah,
no way in hell.
A little redemption game.
Oh, yeah, a little redemption game against the best front four in the league.
In the preseason?
Yeah, no shot. I don't think I'd play him.
Not in the preseason. Here's the thing, though. If he wants to, like, get a series in, then let him.
I don't know. It's just the risk outweighs the reward to me.
Yeah, I mean, but...
Because I also heard this on Locked On Bengals, because that was my thought process too. You'd probably play him week three, but week three is not going to be the week where you play your starters anymore. Week three is the last one. So you're going to get everybody. This is going to be the kids like vying for a spot. I say kids, as they're all probably older than me. But like, so if you're going to play Joe, you're probably not going to be playing with the starters at every other position. And then
they're not going to play.
And that's my thing is it's like one, if you're putting Joe out there, he better be slinging it or else there's going to be some bad. That's not good.
Well, yeah. So if he's going to play in a game, it's going to be against Washington.
And I do not, if they play against Washington, there might be hell.
You think we'll get a cool Kevin Huber behind the back fake pump?
I hope they do something kind of fun in preseason. Yeah. Make the game worth watching.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't.
I'm very excited to watch these games, if I'm being honest. I think this is the most interested I've been to watch preseason games since I've become a Bengals fan, if I'm being honest.
Saturday, I'm going to watch like the first few series, and I'm just going to start drinking. So.
Some of us has to work, Jake.
Well, I do too. I work Saturday morning. All right.
Isn't the game the only thing I hate about preseason is that it feels like a college game, though, honestly. It kind of is.
It's at 7:30, I think.
I think it's at like 5.
Oh, it is? No, it's at like 7:30.
I think you're wrong, but...
You think Tom Brady's going to play?
No.
Why?
Oh, you're right. It is at 7:30. Dude, we're underdogs?
Hey, how big of a degenerate do you have to be to bet on preseason football?
Ask Alec. But, so now we'll move in kind of the last topic is, sadly, Jesse Bates and the Bengals are so reportedly not close to a deal. So
they have till the end of camp, which is in a month. A lot of things can change in that time. And, I mean, that's how negotiations always are, too. You're never close in the beginning.
Not normally with the Bengals, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, they got Sam Hubbard done. Like, they're going to get Jesse Bates done.
I would like to err on the side they do, but it's just normally been a thing in the past few years. When they get them done, it's done like at the beginning.
How many times they never let their young guys, their young stars walk.
Yeah.
They're not going to let him walk. I mean, they let Witt walk because he was old. They let AJ Green walk because he was old.
Well, AJ's like, different.
But, like, think about it. Like,
I mean, Muhammad and Marvin were fairly young.
But those aren't stars.
But, I mean, yeah, they're definitely – I don't think there's been one to the level of Jesse Bates.
Exactly. Those aren't – Marvin Jones was not a star. He was a good player, but he was not a star.
I definitely understand what you're saying.
They keep their elite players. And so they're gonna get it done. I have no worries about it. I think it's before camp's over. I don't think it's anything to worry about.
What kind of money do you think he gets?
Probably like top safety money.
If you probably are him, though, I legitimately think I don't think I would sign an extension this year.
So you're walking.
Well, I guess, yeah, you kind of would be. Well, the thing is the big thing is that Jamal Adams still has a deal out. And I think that's what they kind of want to wait for is I think they want to wait for that deal to see what he's getting. Like, I think they're both kind of paying that. Yeah, the Bates and Adams thing.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of playing the waiting game with each other because I saw somewhere on Twitter that someone said that that Jesse Bates is like agent loves the market setting money.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he's going to get it.
Like, he deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So... And I'd pay him. He's the best. I think he's one of the best safeties in the league. I'd pay him.
And if we're being completely honest, as of right now, he's probably the best player on the team.
Yeah, Probably.
Yeah, and if we're not talking about like potential or positional value, he's the best player on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about that.
I'm excited for it. I do think a deal will get done. It was just very very topical. I mean, all this stuff came out today and we said we were going to report today, like on Sunday. So it was just kind of crazy that all of this originally I was going to get your take on everything else, but then we had new things to kind of talk about, really.
Right. Right. I'm excited. It's a fun time in this city for the first time in a long time. But yeah, we're just going to keep riding the wave. All right.
You gotta, but yeah, preseason game Saturday, there are more Reds games pretty much all the time. It's the one thing I do love about baseball. It's all the time.
Yeah. One other thing, I'm not feeling good about having to get this tattoo.
What were the ramifications again?
So if the Reds make the playoffs, I have to get a Reds tattoo.
Not even if they don't even have to win a game. They just have to make the playoffs?
Supposedly, I went back and I talked to the guys that are a part of it. If they make the wild card, it counts.
Wow, that's legitimately, mathematically, I think it would be very hard for them not to make it at this point.
But here's the thing. It doesn't have to be like a Reds playoffs 2021.
Yeah, yeah.
Type of tat. It's just got to be like a Reds tat.
I'm telling you, you have to do the and this one belongs to the Reds on your thigh.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I honestly would get that one with you.
Hey, if you want to be a part of the bet.
You know how cool that'd be to be able to flash a little thigh at like a summer game every day, every year for the rest of your life?
Exactly. And then when I'm like 65, still doing it. Flabby at that point, it looks gross.
Just you're in cargo shorts when you're like 75. Just wait, it's A T T B and this. Oh, wait, A T O B T T R.
Yeah,
yeah, and this one belongs to the Reds.
It's like 1:30 in the morning. I'm not.
Yeah, I know. My brain's kind of fried. So I think we're going to end on the tattoo talk again. But I mean, I'm kind of down for that, honestly.
All right. You can be a part of it now.
Dude, I hate needles, though.
That's all right. We'll probably be drunk anyways.
You're going to pass out, dude, if you get one.
What do you mean?
You don't like blood or anything.
Do you bleed during tattoos?
I don't think it's like gushing or anything.
No, I'll be fine.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, I don't want to be drunk when we get it, because I feel like when you're drunk when you get tattoos, they always turn out really shitty.
Well, okay. But, I mean, I don't think this is one of those tattoos we want to tell people we got sober.
That's also true. Maybe we get it drunk, but with, like, a good tattoo artist.
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We're not just going to go to some random place.
Well, when you say, I got a tattoo drunk, that's what I assume.
Yeah, well, yeah, but we're going to be smarter than
even
that.
Better. Let's give it to each other.
Oh, yes. We could live stream it.
Could you imagine how bad my handwriting would be on a tattoo?
You've seen my handwriting. That'd be awful, too.
Lord.
And hold on. We both try our best to draw, like, the Reds logo on each other. With like the Reds in the middle of it.
Stop. You know how bad that would look?
And we can use color too. Like we drink color.
Dude, that's the part that like hurts. It's the shading, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm getting nervous.
100,000 retweets.
our like 30 average listeners are really gonna care.
if they want to get it going, show us how much you care.
I mean, maybe not 100,000. I feel maybe if we got like 30.
No.
That way, that's set the bar way too low. That was way too low. Well, first, the Reds have to make it to the playoffs. Then maybe 30.
Yeah. If they win the World Series.
Oh, if they win the World Series, I'll do it I'll just do it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Deal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're already going to do it if they make the playoffs. So.
Yeah. Well, no.
Win the World Series.
No, if they win the World Series, then we try to draw the...
Yeah, I'm out on that one.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I'm all for the thigh, and this one belongs to the Reds.
Yeah, that'd be an elite one.
Yeah.
And then I just get Gapper on it, under it, that'd be cool. The whole like green blob guy.
Okay. And on that one, I think we're going to end it, guys. Keep a lookout. We got some big stuff in the works. Time frame on it's kind of TBD, but we will see how far we get. And just keep an eye out. It's going to be really cool. I got a lot of stuff in store. So we hope you guys are ready. And let's just have a great rest of the red season and a great start to the Bengals. So thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe on the podcast wherever we get it. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. And until next time, Hoo Day.
Go Reds.